Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I am Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, folks, we're right into basketball now.
Yes, we are. Basketball season.
2 weeks removed from football, and here we go with some basketball.
That's right. High school hoops. The Lady Reds doing their thing.
2-0.
2-0. Kent City out of there. Kalamazoo out of there. And we're not talking about weak squads.
No.
Because I know Kalamazoo had 2 6-footers out there. And the girls' games, that's a big thing.
And girl basketball? Come on, man.
They
you
had
know
some,
it
fix, some 6-footers and above. And Kent City had a young lady that's they're going to be an All-State candidate on their team.
Yeah, well, they got a good track record, man, in girls basketball.
That's right. Even though the guy that used to coach them is not there anymore, but that team, that community is still there, and they putting some people in the right space. So Lady Reds are showing up pretty good with having Mojosely underclassmen and Ty being the only senior, I think.
Yeah, extremely young, extremely young. And I just hope that, you know, there going to be some bumps along the way.
Oh, yeah, that's part of the game.
And we just want them to be able to mentally handle it and don't let it get to the point where it distracts them from being a team, you know, program. So,
man, Ben, I'm telling you, the hardest thing to do is to coach an undefeated team. I think Coach Guy did that back in 14. And then I think it was another year he went 20-0. And then Grand Rapids ran to them. Grand Rapids Christian Xavier Tillman them.
Yeah.
Showed him, like, you're not really undefeated, right? So he knows how it's hard coaching an undefeated team because you can have that moment where you can have that one bad game,
especially in the tournament.
Yeah, you want to have your bad game during the season.
Regular season.
You could pull it out and win it. Then you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to be all right. But if you have it during the playoffs, that's your last game.
And
everybody has it. You're going to have about 2 or 3 of them in the year.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have it, especially when you're in a good basketball league.
Yep. And you're scheduling a great game. But I'm impressed with what I've seen with the girls I'm watching online. And area basketball is getting better. You got Mona Shores. You got Reese Puffer.
Mm-hmm.
You got some area teams that got some good players coming back that's ready to bring some noise.
Okay.
You got the Rockfords here.
West East Catholic coming in. The town on Tuesday.
You got East Kentwood still alive, gonna play Muskegon. So East Kentwood boys got a new coach. Got my man that came from Grant Blanche.
King Blank.
Yeah.
And we played them last year.
Yep. So we got East Kentwood got a new coach. So this area is piping up to be a good thing. And that's what we want though, right?
Absolutely. Parity, competition.
We want no scrubs around, you know. we want real games. And we want games that we want like
meaningful games, man.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. But speaking of sports, it is prime time. Deion Sanders is the sitcom of college football.
Yeah, man, he has turned college football completely upside down.
Man, he's and you know what? Like, I can't knock the brother because he came in wholeheartedly, did a job for nothing. Right?
Basically, nothing.
He let them use his name, use his platform, use his sponsorship from Prime. For Under Armour, one of his best friends, the guy that owned Under Armour, he brought in people to change the stadium. They broke into the man car. He took no money, basically, because he had to pay his staff, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you get your staff, you get $300,000, that's for everybody on your team.
Yeah. Yeah, very limited budget when we look at contracts of the Power Five, right? Guys getting $10 million a year.
That's right. So then he just replaced, it was another coach in Colorado, but before the predecessor was Mel Tucker.
Yeah.
Mel
bolted.
Yeah,
he actually had just signed on. He never coached a year there, did he?
Did he really?
I didn't think he coached a year, man.
He did coach a year, I think. He was a year into his deal. It was a $5 million deal, I think.
Okay.
$5 million deal a year. And then he left for the Michigan State for the 9 for $90, I think. So, hey.
Oh, yeah.
I would have left for that, too.
Oh, come on.
Eyes closed.
Yeah.
So, you see Deion Sanders go from $300,000 to $29,000. But just the whole point is just I just like how he do business because look at his kids. His daughter, I don't know if she's going to transfer to Colorado to play basketball.
Probably.
They'll find a spot for him. But his 2 sons is coming with him. And then all the videos we see, that's his son.
Okay.
His son, one of his older sons, does those videos.
He's the social media guru.
Yeah, I might get in trouble for saying this, but, man, babyface ex-wife is looking good with Deion.
That's what that was?
That's her.
I didn't know who that was.
Yeah, that's babyface.
On the Colorado tour.
Yeah. On the plane. So, yep.
Yeah.
So she looking good. She's looking all right.
Well, you know, there's people out there hating on Deion, man.
Yeah.
And I am a supporter of Deion. I've always liked Deion Sanders, even when he played football and baseball.
Yes, sir.
And I always remember this one announcer, Carver, he would always criticize Deion for playing both sports, right? Because he played for, I think it was for Dallas at one time, scored a touchdown, and then he played for the Atlanta Braves, got on the jet, flew to the game, got in, hit a home run, stole some bases. And when they won the World Series, the guy was in the locker room, and Deion got in with a cold bucket of water.
I remember that.
Doused him.
Yeah, I remember that.
For being a hater, okay? And it's like, you know what? That took a lot of guts on Deion's part because he didn't care. He knew the cameras was on him. But what that man did to him was try to, you know, distort his accomplishments. And Deion wasn't having it.
That don't mean nothing.
Okay. And I, from that point on, I said, you know what? Deion is all right with me because he's not a part of the establishment. He walks his own walk, yes, talks his own talk. And if you like him, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Yep. Okay.
But then you got to think, anybody that knows that's in sports or in the public eye, you're going to be criticized. So then you could be the person that had a short conscience if you want to. And the person that has a short conscience, Tony, is a person that's already worried about what somebody else say.
Right.
So if your validation does not come from other people, reporters, even what we talking about right now, it's our perception, right?
That's it.
This is our views of what we
think.
Our
filters.
Yep. So Deion probably won't even see eye to eye with me on some of the things I say about what he's doing. But I'm in total agreement with him because he's giving me the blueprint on how to take it from small league to big time.
To the big time. And I watched another interview where the guy was asking him about, you know, how did he feel about some of the negative comments that's being made about him when he left Jackson State. He told him, he said, look at here. Before I got here, I never listened to negativity. While I was here, I never listened to negativity. And now that I'm going somewhere else, I don't listen to it. And he said, the reason I don't, he said, because I am such a positive person. See, I do things that are on a whole positive level. So for those that want to do that, then let them go. But it doesn't make Deion who Deion is.
That's right.
Go on, Brian.
Man.
And the portal is blowing up, man. Guys,
The whole Alabama team jumped in the portal. The
whole Alabama team wants to go to Colorado. They want to leave Tuscaloosa, where it's, 90, 95 degrees in the summer with no snow, and go to Colorado. And, you know, Colorado is about 50 miles from Denver. So if it's the Mile High then they got snow.
They got snow in the summertime.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, kids get it. Athletes get it, what he is putting together. And trust me, he's in the Pac-12. UCLA, USC leaving, coming to the Big Ten. They're going to be the new king of the mountain in the Pac-12, and it's going to be Colorado.
Ooh-wee.
And the kids know that. They see that. And they'll be playing for national championships because they're going to expand it, right?
They're in the Power 5, too, though.
Power 5.
You dominate the Power 5 conference. You like the USC's now. You like the UCLA's. You there.
He has filled the void of USC, the UCLA departure from the Pac-12. Trust me. You know, we talked about this before. The money that's being put on the table is through networks, the ESPNs, the ABCs. Yeah.
He know the TV money is more than anything. The NBA contracts like that.
And the Pac-12 was not in that conversation. Now, because of Deion Sanders, they will be in that conversation because they know the public want to see the product that he has on the football field. So whatever money they're divvying up between the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, they're going to have to give some back to the Pac-12 now because they got them discounted because the two top teams left. You're not as relevant now because UCLA and USC are leaving. You're not relevant. Well, Deion just made him relevant again.
Yeah, because he's like, hold on. We'll come back to the Big Ten. We'll come back to the Pac-12. Nah, we don't need to go to the Big Ten.
Yeah. No, they don't want him back now. Y'all go ahead and leave. We don't want you back.
Wee!
Yeah. You know, I'm just excited about it, man.
Speaking of not wanting you back, I mean, BG is back. Brittany Griner's back.
Okay, that's been a political firestorm.
Man, it was like smoke and mirrors with Putin. Basically what his name means, Putin.
Putin, yeah.
Smoking mirrors with him. And, like, you know, we've been having conversations about this. Like, a lot of people was against the trade. A lot of people were for it. But then I looked at it in several different areas. Somebody's life, for one, right? But then I thought about the guy that had the, that they called a spy from our country, Paul, right? The guy, Paul, that they said he had the USB and marijuana and whatever, right?
Okay.
So they detained him since 2018. He's 4 years. He got
in espionage. Yeah.
He got like 14 more years left. So it's like, man. So then you're like, oh, you could have traded the terrorists for him, right?
And they said they tried to. That was a part of the negotiation.
But then they say, hold on. Moscow, this is a little bit different over here. He a spy. We do spies differently in our country. I don't know what y'all do.
Yeah.
But y'all got terrorists over there. Okay, we understand you're terrorists. We ain't going to trade no spy for no terrorists. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So we'll give you the basketball player back. With the
for the arms dealer.
For the arms dealer that's been killing people all over the world.
Yeah.
With all this intelligence and all this connection, he free now.
Yeah, he did 12 years. He had a 25-year sentence. He did 12. So he did half of them.
Man.
So was it a fair trade? Nope. Who's to say? I don't know at this point. But the Biden administration moved forward with it. And I heard something on NPR where they did interview the family of the individual that's still being held. And they were saying, like, we would have liked him to got out, but we were okay with the fact that somebody else did get out.
Somebody did get out. Okay. There's a lot of people over there just being detained.
It was around the world. There's a lot of Americans around the world being detained.
Watch out in Egypt. It's like, watch out in Egypt. Watch out in certain spaces.
Iran, we know about the Middle East.
Yep, watch out. They like, they'll see you out there being a tourist and like, oh, get them.
Yeah.
Taking them to jail.
No doubt. So, you know, the family said we're okay with it, right? But then, politics always got to dirty everything up.
Yeah.
Can't nothing be clean.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the angle for the politics. It's like, okay, as soon as BG get out, then now it's the Marriage for All Act.
Yeah.
Get ready to get signed. So I say, hold on. So I'm looking at the president yesterday morning, right? It's him, it's BG's wife, and it's the first lady, right?
Yep.
The next person in command.
Vice president.
The vice president. And I'm like, oh, there's two sisters right there. Okay, one is married, same sex, and I'm not against nobody's choices or views, right? You got the first lady, right?
Married a white man.
Right.
Interracial marriage.
Yeah, right? So I'm like, I'm like, okay, look at this balance here. So then I'm like, oh, this bill come out that they want everybody to sign that say marriage for all. So I say, oh, then you got the WNBA that's underfunded, right? Women's rights, right? I'm looking, I'm like, oh.
Man. LBGT.
Yep. ABC gang movement, right? All this stuff, right? And I'm like, I'm thinking, and I'm like, wow, this is a big money move right here. Because when you think about the typical marriage, somebody marrying until death do you part, that don't happen in this time and generation no more. That's a slim pickings.
Yeah, man.
That's probably 3%. Because most marriages end, they 50-50 flip a coin.
Yeah.
So you think about somebody being together, like being, talking about they was together when they 20s until they died in the 80s. That's not happening no more.
No,
right?
You don't see that much, brother.
So then look at all the benefits that we missing out on being a family. Like as you say, father, mother, husband, wife, man, woman. Look how we missing out on all the benefits from insurances.
Yeah, because,
right?
Yeah.
Because you're single. Then look out, missing out on death benefits, Social Security, disability, life insurance, medical insurance, right?
Yeah, because you don't qualify. You didn't qualify prior because you didn't have that.
So then you live connection. With somebody, they're your roommate, but they're actually your partner, right? And I'm going to give you this example. And you're like, hold on, that makes sense. The Golden Girls.
Okay.
Wasn't no dude around except for Blanche, right?
Right.
Blanche only one had a dude around.
Yeah.
Everybody else, they was like, they just live their life together. I'm like, oh, it was a mama and daughter, but I'm like, was somebody dating or something?
Mm-mm.
Right? But with this law being passed, if it get passed, that somebody that's in the golden years age, they can say, oh, that's my partner. She need my insurance. She a stay-at-home wife. He a stay-at-home husband. But it's really your roommate. So then now it's going to free up their Affordable Care Act to be even more relevant than what it was.
Absolutely. Now they qualify for those benefits.
Wow.
Because they have changed. And now it passed Congress. So the Senate is the balance is to the Democrats. So chances are it's going to pass the Senate as well.
So everybody
sign off on
it. So everybody looking at the fair trade for BG against the terrorists, right?
Right.
That's the trade. That's the trade. The trade is a domino effect to have a spokesperson that's in a relationship that fits, that's in a declining league, which is the WNBA, but only getting supported because
the NBA.
Started. Yep, the NBA said, we'll pay for it. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And we'll give y'all a salary. We'll give y'all a check. Just be quiet. We'll
subsidize you.
Yep, we'll subsidize you. It's like a welfare league. But I like watching the girls play.
I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I love it. So when you look at that, you're like, oh, this is an underplay for the overplay. This trade is some big things. But, you know, speaking for underplay, overplay, we got our interest rates falling.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Fed, they can set a benchmark, right, for interest rates. But it's really up to each individual lending institution to determine how much they want to charge you. So banks have taken on this concept that, like, you know, the market cooled off so fast that it's really hurting our bottom line. So in order to continue to keep this housing market relevant and robust, we're going to take some hits on the side of the interest. In other words, we're going to basically eat some of this interest rate increases in order for people to come in and qualify for these loans. So we know that in September, we had reached over the 7% mark. And now you can probably get in around 6%, but that's only because the banks are willing to take the hit for the interest just so they can keep their cash flow going.
Let me ask you this. It's like, it says more money is available, but like, I know they ain't talking about no stimmy somebody had.
No.
I know the banks hold a lot of paper.
The banks are flush with cash just because of so much consumer spending.
Yep.
Okay. And they know if the spending dries up, the banks are going to be in a position where they got to start laying off people.
And it's not everything going to be wholesale then.
Yeah, because we don't have enough business, we don't have enough services coming in to support the number of people that we employ. So therefore,
the money's still cheap then.
For the most part, yeah. When you think about what the 80s could bring. Now, the interesting situation is going to come up here next week when the Feds meet again for another interest rate hike. So we're going to see, basically, they've been that 3/4%
right before the year change.
Every month,
right.
They hit boom, boom, boom. So it's going to be interesting to see if they go with that same plan as far as a 3/4, or they're going to drop it to a half, because they think they see some indications that the market is cooling off. And that's probably what, you know, that's what they wanted, is to slow this inflation. But again, banks were flush with cash, and they're willing to eat some of these interest rates in order to keep people buying homes. I mean, think about it. I'll eat 1% of a loan so I can get somebody on the hook for 30 years.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that.
Okay. That's an easy one to figure out.
Yeah, that's easy. Okay. That's why some people are like, I'm going to get this home. Well, if you can't afford it.
Right. If you can't afford it because of the interest rates, and we covered that, where 1 point interest rate hike could mean hundreds of dollars a month additional in your mortgage payment. So the banks are saying, okay, on that loan, we were going to probably make $500,000. But because of the interest rates, it's going to be reduced. So, but we'll settle for $450,000 profit off this versus the five. We're going to give up 50 grand just to keep these people in the market of purchasing homes. So that's why the interest rates is coming down. The Fed rate is still the same, but the bank or the lending institutions can do whatever they want to do as far as that go. It's just a benchmark that they use. But credit cards is a whole different story.
Yeah, that's...
See, credit cards don't play that game.
No, they don't. We got that on our list, credit cards.
Yeah. And Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So...
Robbing Peter to pay Paul, that's what's going on for holiday time, you saying?
Right. With inflation the way it has been, man... from what people have had to spend on groceries, housing, gasoline, there's just so much money to go around. So, of course, the next thing to do is to pull out the credit card at Christmas to buy gifts and things like that that are not daily staples.
Man, that's that high spending. Like, you better get some gift cards and get your dinner package already and go buy from Boston Market or something. But, call it a night.
But
Merry Christmas.
At the end of the day, when you talk about buying gifts at Christmas, Is it any different than buying a gift in September?
No,
December?
It's not.
Is it a difference? No. It's the same money, but we're being programmed.
Come on now.
By Madison Avenue. Madison Avenue is where all the advertising firms are in New York City. Their job is to get people to spend their money on products at certain times of the year. Okay? And if you don't, then it makes you feel like you're not a part of the, you know, the American way.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this. So like we live in an area that's a region that don't get a lot of sunlight, right?
Right.
So during this time, these 3 or 4 months, and it get cold, less sunlight. So you in the house, you watching TV, you on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
What's being done to you on the radio,
being
on the
programmed.
Phone, when you driving,
programmed,
when you listening. Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Happy holidays. Walk in the store. Jingle, yeah. Jingle, bell, yeah. Jingle, bell.
Decoration. Putting you in the mood.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Oh, I got it. And then now you got it where you can tap your car. I had to. it's personal. I had my wife on the account. She was tapping the car. I said, oh, I got to get you up out of there. She said, yes, it's just so easy. I just tap it. And I looked. I said, oh, no, you got to get up off of this.
I know that's right.
I took off right at the count. I took off the account. Don't tell the audience.
Okay.
I was like, you ain't going to be tapping no more. I just give you cash.
That's it, man. You know, it's
so
like,
easy. You just tap. And it's
and that's what, and they know that.
You just tap the car. And yep. It's just the money just come out. It's just magic.
It's like magic. It's like, you know, back in when credit cards started, man, you know, people was afraid of them.
Yeah.
They, you know,
the devil.
I ain't spend no money in there. And they gave me all this stuff. And then the bill come. And it's like, oh, shoot.
And then the bill grows like the magic, the Johnny and the Beanstalk. You know?
Right.
Because then the interest hits it.
It's it. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, interest rates now on credit cards is 18, 19, 20%, man,
yes.
On the unpaid balance.
Man,
so you've been struggling all year to keep things together, right? Because of the price of the inflation.
You want to feel good,
and then yeah, now
for
you
for 2 days.
For 2 days, man. Come on,
and then you had them 2 weeks off, and you're gonna be looking at all that stuff you bought, and be like, yeah, these kids happy. And then as soon as the new year comes, you're gonna be like, where that stuff at?
Don't know where it's at. We did that. We meet at my son's house on Christmas Eve, and I sit back one time and I watched it. It was like
you watched it.
I watching him, man. He opening up gifts. Constantly. And it's like, and I don't buy them nothing. I've never done that. They all got investment accounts, man.
Yeah, like me.
So I don't play that. Yeah. And it's like, you know, sometimes you can just go way overboard with stuff. And I think for us as a community, we got to put things in perspective. You know what means more to me when it comes to Christmas?
What's that?
It's sitting down with my family, having dinner, having a conversation, telling them about, you know, how we grew up, what their grandparents did, things of that nature. So it's sort of like a bonding session.
Yep.
Because if I go buy you something, what is the value in that?
You're right. For me, Tony, it's quality time with my significant other, just cutting my phone off.
Okay.
And just getting out of my regular schedule of work and just being able to, just like, my wife is like, hey, I want to do this. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I want to go here. Okay. I want to eat this. Okay. I just want to stay in with you all day. Okay.
That's cool.
Okay. I can do that. I got these 2 weeks. That's what we're going to do. You want to go see your family? Want to go see my family? If you don't, okay, we good. We just be together the whole holiday break. And that's all I want for the holiday.
That's it, man.
I ain't looking for no. And she knows. She's like, I can't buy you nothing. You don't want nothing.
I don't want nothing. What do I need?
She said, you weird.
I'm weird.
My family told me I'm weird.
That.
Yep. Everybody say I'm weird. I know. But it's that point that plus, I lived in scarcity. I grew up in scarcity.
Right.
So when you grow up in scarcity, you don't have a scarcity mindset. You plan purposefully to have what you need to have when you do get to dire straits. You're like, mm-hmm. I got a nest egg. I got this save. I got life insurance. I got this. I got that. And for me, and I'm not saying to everybody, oh, you ain't gonna do nothing for the holidays. No. I'm saying that I'm gonna have a certain amount of money set aside.
Mm-hmm.
And when that money run out,
it's done.
Ain't nobody tapping no credit card or nothing.
Mm-mm. For what are you purchasing?
Nothing.
We got too many other external forces that already attacking my money.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out how to get them. Even my friend Bill, I'm trying to figure out how to make him disappear forever.
Oh yeah, Bill, he come every month.
Yep. Carno, all them other spaces. So if you want to beat inflation, you want to beat that issue, you got to get out that program, because that program, Christmas come, tax season, mm-hmm. Easter egg hunt, St. Patrick's Day, man, Valentine's Day,
Sweetest Day.
They hunt you down. So just imagine, here you go right here. Let's say you spend $1,000 for each holiday at least. So let's go down for the audience for that. Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Start in January.
January. So January is what?
I don't know if we got anything in January. Now, we all tapped out because of December anyway. Yeah. So it's
but Martin Luther King, you get to
February.
Celebrate. Yeah, you're
do Valentine's Day, right? Yeah.
So that's first one was going the programming holidays.
For Valentine.
So $1,000, right? Okay. You got probably you're like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go to give me hotel. I'm gonna go to a concert. Do this. Get her these flowers. Get her this necklace, this bracelet, right?
Right.
$1,000. What's the next that's holiday?
March.
St. Patrick's Day. Some people make it big in St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, okay.
Yeah, they do it
let's
big.
Let's throw St. Patrick's Day in there.
Hotel room. I'm going to all these festivals. I'm going bar hopping. I'm going to spend about $700.
Yeah, going to dress up.
Yep, going to dress up. Another $1,000. Might go somewhere. Might go to Ireland.
April.
$2,000.
We got Easter.
Easter egg hunt. That's $3.
In April.
If you just be like, it's me and these people. We go to all these. We did all this. I bought a suit. I did this. I gave this. I got all the kids an Easter basket. I did my job. Got them an outfit.
Right.
$3,000.
Yep. So now we're into what?
May,
which is
spring break.
Spring break and Memorial Day.
Yeah. Oh, we was in school. Gotta get an outfit.
I gotta get an outfit.
Got a barbecue. I need. I spent like $2,000. I gotta get a rent a hall for a club, a party. Gotta get ready for that. Gotta get something to drink. $4,000. Yep. Right.
In June, you got graduations.
Oh, graduation.
Open houses.
Open house. Man, that's $1,000. He want a car. He want this. He want that. I'm not saying all these things happen, audience. So you got June, you got July, 4th of July.
4th of July.
Oh, you got to get it in. Now it's all day. I'm riding around. Got to cut the car wash. Got to get a whole outfit.
I got to buy some of them expensive ribs.
Yeah. I got to go to Chicago. I got to go here. I got to go there, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, you got to, man, June, July, August, right?
Yep. August, September. I don't know what's in August. I'm sure they got something for you to do in August.
Yeah.
It might have been that Sweetest Day. I don't know.
Yeah. But my thing is, audience, don't be bamboozled. Live your life. Have fun, celebrate, but don't get to the point where you don't plan. If you don't plan for it, it'll be exceedingly scarcity situation for you.
Yeah, yeah. Don't feel like you have to go all out on a lot of these celebration days. You know, live within your means, man.
Yep. You don't have to have no short conscience. You see somebody else doing something, that's on them.
That's on them.
Because guess when that bill come, they got to pay it. And then when that bank account get lower, if that's how they feel. Because I'm telling you that my bank account does not validate me as a person.
Nah.
But I'm not saying I'm not, I don't have nothing now. I ain't saying I don't live without nothing. I ain't gonna talk about be broke.
But I like my bank account.
Yeah, I like what I got in my life. I like when I go in the bank and they know my name. And I can laugh when I go in there and not cry.
Yep.
So I like that part.
Because the other thing you got to keep in perspective is stuff happens.
Yes, life happens. You want to have something when life happens.
Transmission go out.
Ooh,
happens. Need some tires on your car.
Ah.
Got to get some, new exhaust system, TV brake, washing machine brake. It's just, you have to keep those things in a position where when they do happen, it does not become a hardship.
Yep.
Okay. And I think what we're trying to tell folks is that just do things in moderation.
Because they won't.
Just don't get crazy.
Like the bank, what we talked about earlier with the bank, with the mortgages, they got money to lend.
Yeah.
They got money to make too,
so oh,
they making
it.
Money off the house. They like we gotta get that money off them credit cards. The
credit cards, you need a loan, Johnson? Man.
You want a loan? You want a quick $10,000? You want a loan for college outside of your grant, outside of your scholarship? You want a private loan from our bank?
We're here for you.
That gets to that space when it comes to your promissory note and your letter from the college to say. You got a scholarship.
Right.
You got this much financial aid. And you're like, oh, I got all this money. And then you look, you say, subsidized, unsubsidized. Then it'd be like a company like Sally Mae or Novi or something and say, you can get this private loan for $30,000 on the side if you want.
Mm-hmm. Always requires is your signature.
Yep. You just got to sign the paperwork. Yeah, we'll do everything else for you. Come pick your check up. You're into the money.
Yeah. No co-signer. You don't need a co-signer.
Come you on. Just turned 18. Oh, you can get this. You can pay this off. You look like I can tell how your hair cut.
Yep.
You can pay it off. That's.
I'll tell you this. This article says here that Lending Club, which is a club that they monitor spending and income for Americans, 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
Ooh-wee.
And when the U.S. labor statistics find that Americans are earning 3% less on average in real terms than a year ago, that is a that's a cause to pause. 60% of America is living paycheck to paycheck.
Tony, I'm going to share something with you. I was somewhere, I was out of town. You know, I was with one of my other mentors, right? And she was talking to me. And it was a couple, it was three of us sitting at the table. Who's in Indiana? And she looked at me and she asked me what I was doing with my money. And I told her the plan you said. I said, I do this 70-30, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told her with the IRA, the 403B, the ORIS, right?
Yep.
I told her all my numbers. Counts. And she was like, who taught you that? I was like, Tony did. And I said, I got another mentor. He passed away. And I mentioned your name, but I was just like, when you talk about living paycheck to paycheck, I don't do that. But I got to a point where I've learned how to save so much when raises and stuff and increases came, I ain't buying no new cars. I didn't blow it on something. I mean, I took some money and had some fun with it.
Come on, man.
I got it out of my system.
That's what you're supposed to do.
But then I didn't buy the things that was going to carry over into 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10
long
years,
term.
Right? Long term. It might take me a month, week.
30 days, I'm
weekend.
Paying it off.
Like, oh, that weekend was good, or that these 3 days was good. It's going to cost me a month for this weekend, right? Or these 3 days, not years.
Nope.
Or I'm still pulling up in the parking lot and I'm still paying for it. So I looked at that and I was just like, and she was talking to me and she's like, I might have like 3 or 4 more years. And she said, you got to make sure because your two highest years you make, that's what they're going to look at when it gets to your pension.
Mm-hmm.
So we sitting there and we just sitting there. It's like almost, it's late at night and we just talking about that. So
sharing ideas.
Yeah,
man.
Somebody older than me that wants to see me do better, but then it was another person there and they didn't have that stream set up. But then they started thinking in those terms and they looked at me and it was like, you did all that. I was like, yeah. I said, you see what I drive?
It's doable.
I said, what I drive? See what my wife drive, right? She said, I was like, them been paid for.
Okay.
So I said, what did I do with the money? I didn't buy something new.
And
I said, I started another stream of income that I could save and made these nest eggs turn into something else through somebody else that was older than me that was in a different space than me and helped me make a decision. So audience, that's what we're saying to you in this show. We are here to help you make decisions because either we made a mistake or we've benefited off a decision. But I'm going to tell you this, it took proximity and it took time to say no. Nope, I don't need that. Nope, I don't need that. Nope, I don't need that. Nope, I'm going to pay that off. And then when you start seeing that increase in a long-term investment account that you can't touch till you're a certain age, you're like, man, it's going to be this when I get in. Oh, I'm going to be good.
Okay.
And that's the fun part when I say, oh, I can quit working and say, I'm straight.
I'm straight, man.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. My lifestyle, I'm happy with my lifestyle. Not extravagant, but I knew at a young age how I wanted to live. And I knew that I had to also invest and save. And then when you get to be in your 60s and you look back and you say, well worth it.
Yep.
Job well done.
That's it.
When you don't have money problems, you normally don't have marriage problems either.
That's right. And then if I make it to your age, if I don't make it to your age, it's going to be the next egg left for somebody.
Somebody.
And I'm okay with that too when I'm in heaven.
Okay. Because I pray for longevity. That's what we pray for, longevity. Right.
But if I don't make it,
somebody things are still going to be good.
That's right. And that's how I feel. Leave an inheritance, not a debt.
That's right.
Yep.
That's where I look at it. No doubt, Chauncey. Yep.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.